I want to begin this morning by sharing one of the most fascinating stories I've ever heard. There's a man named Louis Samperini. He was an Olympic runner who joined the Air Force during World War II. Louis was on a search and rescue mission when, ironically enough, his plane malfunctioned and it crashed into the ocean. And now Louis survived this wreck, but for the next 47 days, he will be stranded on a life raft in the middle of the ocean. So after these days of surviving, fighting off sharks, just surviving the elements, trying to survive with little food and no water, the day comes when he's found by some Japanese sailors, but let's remember that they're the enemy during this war. So instead of being sent home, Louis becomes a prisoner in Japan. He lives in multiple POW camps where he is starved and beaten. And if you know Louis's story, there was one particular camp where the head guard, the guy in charge, hated Louis. It became a daily routine for Louis to be beaten and abused and tortured by this guy on a daily basis. But thankfully, the war ends. All the POW soldiers are eventually sent home. But Louis's story doesn't end there. When Louis gets back to America, he suffers from severe PTSD. He battles with addiction. Every single night, he dreams about strangling this guard who caused him so much harm. But Louis's life will change the day that he was invited to a revival. After this experience, a few years later, Louis goes back to Japan. A lot of his former guards are now in prison themselves for crimes that they committed during the war. But Louis, being a changed man, was able to look these men in the eye and forgive them. How amazing is it that Louis was able to forgive these men who treated him like an enemy? If we were to use one word to describe an aspect of our faith, I'm sure that a lot of us would use the word forgiveness. Because after all, it is a theme that we see throughout the Bible, specifically in the New Testament. Christ died for our sins. We are baptized to have our sins forgiven and washed away. We place our faith in Jesus because he is the only one who can forgive us of all of our sins. But after we've been forgiven, what's different about us? How should this experience change us? Well, Scripture reminds us that because we've been forgiven by Christ, disciples are called to possess a forgiving attitude. This is a part of our character. We are forgiving people. But let's be a little honest about this for a second, because we all know that we need to forgive. We've grown up learning about that is the thing to do, is forgive. But we know that's not always the easiest thing to do, is it? For some of us, forgiving may be one of the hardest things that we have to do. So this morning, let's be reminded about the words of Jesus. How does Jesus teach us to forgive? If you have your Bibles, open with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I'll start in verse 21 of Matthew 18. Then Peter came up to him and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." Peter is approaching Jesus from a technical aspect, basically asking Jesus if there's a limit to how many times we forgive someone. Jesus responds by saying, "Hey, there isn't a limit to how many times that we forgive someone. Because forgiveness isn't an occasional act. This becomes a part of our character. This is something that we learn to keep doing. But Jesus explains more by sharing a parable with us. I'll start in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with the servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28, but when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. As we look deeper into this parable, we will see the kind of attitude that we need to have when it comes to forgiveness. As disciples, we are called to have a forgiving heart. Jesus reveals that we need to have a forgiving heart because, well, let's realize that we are forgiven. For us to see the significance of forgiveness, notice how this servant was treated by his master. We read in the parable that he owns 10,000 talents. I asked Jeff how much this was, and you said, what, in the billions? So, a crazy number. Okay, how did he get into that amount of debt already? It makes you think, this guy owns billions of dollars, so much money that's basically impossible to pay off. It gets to the point to where his whole family has to be sold into slavery until it's paid off. But look, this guy knows his situation. He's going to be enslaved forever. There's no paying off this debt. But when he came to the master, when he got on his knees, he pleaded with him, the master forgave him of everything. That's a huge sigh of relief, is it not? All of a sudden, you're just forgiven of this tremendous amount of debt. I mean, how amazing is that? Well, now, let's do a little bit of role-playing. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of the servant. Because of our sin, we are the servant that owes a tremendous debt. And to make matters worse, there's nothing that we can do ourselves to pay off this debt. We are going to be enslaved forever. But hold your place here and look with me in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look what it says with me, starting in verse 13. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Thus he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Look what the master did for us. We are guilty of sinning against the Lord. We are guilty for having this debt, but because he is merciful and gracious, he stepped into our place. He paid for our debt with his blood. This is what the Master did for us. He got rid of our sin. He has made things right with us. He has given us peace. He has broken down that wall of hostility that stood between us. He has reconciled us to himself. And to make things even greater, when we go to God and plead with him for forgiveness, he's going to grant it to us. So using this parable, Jesus is getting us to see this wonderful thing that he's done for us. We are the servant who was forgiven. And so now Christ calls us to have a forgiving heart because we need forgiveness too. We are forgiven. But because of this, Jesus continues in this parable. He goes on to warn us. He goes on to tell us that we need to have a forgiving heart to be forgiven. Going back to this parable, notice what the servant did after he was forgiven by the master. It says in this parable that the servant went to his servant, who also owed him some debt, but it was nothing compared to what this servant owed his master. But look, instead of being patient, instead of allowing this guy to make things right with him, he acts like he's a member of the mafia, doesn't he? Where's my money? He beats him up, he throws him in prison. But do we see how unfair this is? Because the amount that he owed, the amount that this second servant owed, was nothing compared to what this first servant owed the master. And instead of showing the same type of attitude as the master, we see that he was the exact opposite. He was heartless. And so we see that this kind of behavior didn't sit quite well with the master. Because look what the master says starting in the middle of verse 32. The master says, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servants as I have had mercy on you?" The master is basically saying to him, because I showed you forgiveness, I expected you to do the same thing. Is forgiveness optional? I mean, our culture says, yeah, some people don't deserve forgiveness. But Jesus tells us a different truth. It's maybe a hard truth for us to fully swallow. Jesus is telling us, if we refuse to forgive, we ourselves won't be forgiven. Turn with me to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says some stuff about forgiveness there. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Jesus tells us, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Jesus is explaining to us here that in order for us to be forgiven by God, we need to have an attitude. We need to be willing to forgive others when they sin against us. And look, as I said in the beginning, this isn't an easy thing to do. In fact, we may understand what Jesus is saying here, but it does sound easier said than done. Because if we were in Louis's shoes, the soldier who was treated as a prisoner and enemy for a few years, if we were in his shoes, would we be able to forgive these men that treated us so terribly? Because we may choose to remain hostile and bitter towards these guys. We may dodge the opportunity to make things right. We may continue to want them to feel guilty. We may want them to be resentful for these things that they've done. And this is a mindset that sounds so easy to justify, but that's not the example that Christ was setting for us here. Whatever the reason may be, we may justify not forgiving in our minds, but Jesus is telling us the reality that we are putting guilt back on ourselves when we respond the way that this first servant did. Jesus is reminding us that we need to be willing to forgive in order to be forgiven. Because our sins have been forgiven by the Master, this is the model we should follow to making things right. We need to have a forgiving heart to be forgiven. But lastly, to have a forgiving heart, we forgive. Even though Louis went to Japan and forgave the men who hurt him face to face, he was never able to schedule a meeting with that one guard. With the leader, he never met the man who hurt him the most, because that guy refused to meet with Louis. But Louis still wrote this guy a letter. And in this letter, Louis expressed that he forgave him. And Louis also wished that this man would give his life to Christ. Would we have that same desire for someone who has done something like this to us? Going back to this parable in Matthew chapter 18, what should have been the right attitude from the servant? And it's an obvious answer. It's a clear answer. This servant should have forgiven his servants from this minor debt that was owed to him. Because think about it. How could he still be bitter and greedy and harsh after he was forgiven of his debts? How could he not change after this tremendous thing was done to him? And so this morning we've been talking about having a forgiving heart, an attitude of forgiveness. But now let's actually put this concept into practice. What does it look like to have this forgiving attitude? Well, first we should be filled with gratitude. Dare I say, having an attitude of gratitude. Because Christ helped us when we were desperate to be helped. Christ forgave us of something we lacked. He forgave us of this debt that we owed him. But because Christ was generous to forgive us, we should be generous to forgive others when they sin against us. We now forgive out of the gratitude that's in our hearts. But along with this gratitude, Jesus teaches us that we should be also ready to forgive. We need to be quick to forgive. Because going in the back to the parable, this master was ready. He was ready to forgive his servants of this debt. So Jesus is setting for us the example that we need to have, that when the opportunity comes to make things right, well, we should already have it in our hearts to forgive. We need to have an attitude that is ready to settle things and make it right. But in this attitude of forgiveness, it needs to be sincere. And let me explain what I mean by our forgiveness needs to be sincere. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 35. Jesus says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Forgiveness needs to be done from the heart. Because I don't think Jesus is saying that We can just say, I forgive you, and then continue to hold guilt over this person's head, right? It's just like saying, okay, I'm forgiving you of the debt, but we're not erasing that from our book. No, it needs to be sincere. We need to mean it when we say that we forgive. Because to be sincere, it's ultimately the desire to make things right with each other and just move on from it. And let's take a look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. It's a quick verse I want to share. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look what it says in verse 31. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. To have a sincere and forgiving heart, all bitterness, all anger, all wrath needs to be replaced with tenderness and kindness. We are sincere when we have a true desire to make things right. But after we forgive, this doesn't mean that the relationship is going to be fully restored. This doesn't mean that things will go back to what they were before. This doesn't mean that trust is going to be gained back immediately. Whatever the case may be, after we forgive someone, well, there still may be things that we need to work on to continue to restore this relationship. But having a forgiving heart means that we have settled this thing that has stood between us, and we are now working on being reconciled once again. But I say all this to bring home the point of having a forgiving heart. Because when we have this attitude of forgiveness, when we have this forgiving heart, we are showing that the love of God is in us. Because His love has changed us to show patience and kindness and forgiveness. So when it comes to forgiveness, what's the attitude of our hearts? As we've been talking and reminding ourselves about forgiveness, let's not forget the need that all of us have to be made right with God. If we haven't been forgiven by God, Scripture reminds us that we are still living in the filth of our sins. And because of this, we are going to be judged for it one day. But because of Christ, because of what He did, we can confess our faith in Jesus and have our sins washed away and forgiven of in baptism. If you are a disciple in need to seek repentance, if you need forgiveness, please let us know so we can pray for you and we can help you. So let us help you with any of this. You may come forward now as we stand and as we sing.